All right, so I want you guys to get loud and proud for your headliner,
Josh Johnson!
Sometimes you hear things that stick with you forever, right? Like one of the things that I heard in school was it was one of Newton's laws. It's an equal but opposite reaction, right? And so it's like a law of physics, but it's also a law of people to a certain degree. Except we don't agree on what equal is. Do you know what I mean? Like if somebody does you dirty and then you want revenge, whenever you feel satisfied, your friends, your family might look at you like you crazy. Like you like, like, oh, you didn't have to do all that, right? You know what I mean? Your friends and family might even tell you, hey, stop, you got them. You got them, I swear you got them, right? And you're like, no, it's not enough. Because like, you locked in, right? You locked into revenge. Maybe, look, also because of how the world works and because of how we're all entering and exiting each other's lives, sometimes you make somebody pay for the sins of other people. Sometimes they did you dirty, but they didn't do all of it. That's not their whole fault. Like you clearly let out some demons on somebody else. You especially know you're doing it if you accidentally call them the wrong name. You know what I mean? You know, like you it's your last day at work. You quitting this job and they ain't done you dirty too many times and you're sick of it, right? And then at the last second when you cursing your boss out and you telling him where he can shove it and you can tell him how he treated you and how he no longer has any power over you and you can tell him to go right to hell and then you accidentally say dad. And then both y'all have to sit with that for a second. Like, now the exit interview is awkward, right? Because you were on a roll. You had that whole speech prepared. That dad thing came out of nowhere, right? It was okay. There was this one time when I was living in Chicago that I was near Wrigleyville. And Wrigleyville, if you don't know, that's where the Cubs play. And it's like the ratchet bar bro-y type part of Chicago, right? So there's a lot of fights for no reason. There's a lot of like catcalling. There's just so much chaos happening, and it's all stuff that is like not. It doesn't faze you as much when you're like in your early 20s, right? You're just like, oh, I'm out where the party is. And I think if you go back there at like 30, you'll be like, ooh. Everyone here should call their mom. Everybody here. You know? But while I was out there, there was this guy that was walking and he was drunk. He had that like... I've never seen anybody walk like this. Like he really was walking like his feet couldn't find the ground. And it was... It's always going to be there. It's always every time. But he was like, ah. And I couldn't believe he wasn't falling. He was staying upright and everything. And this guy was passing. And this guy was passing with his girlfriend. And the drunk guy, as they pass him, he clocks the girlfriend. And he just casually, like, spins on a heel and slaps her ass, right? Yeah, so she notices. She very much notices. And it's crazy. Almost all this could have been prevented because he's so off his balance that he almost missed, right? He almost had a very different night. And so basically he slaps her ass and then she turns around and then her boyfriend turns around. Now he has not withdrawn his hand fast enough for the boyfriend to not know what just happened, right? So then he turns around and this guy is like, the drunk guy is bigger than the guy who's girlfriend just got her ass slapped. So even though that dude goes like toe to toe with him in the next moment, I was still worried about the little guy because the little guy was little, right? And even in his drunken state, he's still like aware enough to know he was big enough to be an asshole, right? Because instead of apologizing or anything like that, he's like, what you gonna do, little man? What you gonna do, right? And he didn't say it like that. He was like, what's he gonna do, little man? What you gonna do, little man? What you gonna do, man? Huh? Ain't nobody. What you gonna do, little man? And little dude wasn't little for long. Because he popped that dude square in the mouth. And then big dude finally found the ground, right? And I had never seen this before in real life, but little dude didn't just fight him. He started doing actual wrestling moves on the street, right? This man, girlfriend, been stepped out of the way, and this man goes... This man went... this dude was going off, right? And it got to the point where even as a bystander, I was like, I think you got him. I think you got him. Because the big dude is not getting up at a certain point. He tried to get up the first time, and him trying to get up was hilarious because, okay, so let me see if I can do it. So he over here like this, right? So he on the ground. And then he tries to like, because he's so drunk, he doesn't know he on the ground, so he tries to walk up. This man tried to walk up while he was getting hit. He was getting hit in his face and he was like, what is stopping me? It's crazy. What's happening? And then he really tries to like walk up and then he finds the ground with his hand and then he goes, you gonna stop hitting me in my damn face. And then when he said that, the dude uppercut him and he went flat back down, right? And then the beating did turn a little bit too much into dancing, right? Like then the beating, because then he started to do stuff that was not even wrestling moves anymore. He was just like, bow! To the point where even his girl was like, hey, you got him. But you could tell, you could see it on his face that something deeper was bothering him than just this moment, right? Because if you're not, and I'm speaking on the behalf of men who are not big, right? If you are not a big man, you've probably been punked a couple times in your life, right? Or at least someone tried to punk you because they didn't know they shouldn't try you, right? And so then that stuff starts to well up, and then out of nowhere, you finally have a righteous opportunity to exercise all of that anger. So then you let loose, and when you don't stop, people are like, damn, damn, damn. And I said that because that's the best way I can illustrate what happened between Kendrick and Drake. Because Drake makes his little like club beats and he does his little, and he's a good rapper, don't get me wrong, he's a good rapper, but he makes his little like get drunk to this type songs, dance and everything. And then he was calling out Whitney, Kendrick's wife, because that's what he likes to do. He likes to attack rappers by their wife. If you look through his catalog, he does it every time. And then Kendrick said, okay. I promise you, nothing but sweet chin music. I'm ready. Right? Because I think in order to understand, I really don't think people get it. In order to understand how important and powerful that pop-out concert was, you have to understand Nipsey Hussle. Okay? Nipsey Hussle was a rapper that a lot of people, at least as many people as I think should know, don't know. But what is one of the most important things about Nipsey Hussle, and what he would probably want you to know about him and remember about him, besides the fact that he was a phenomenal artist, is that he spent his time, his money, his attention, and all of his intention in improving the lives of the people that grew up around him, improving his community. Okay? This dude would pay for shoes for kids in elementary school that didn't have them. He would get repaved basketball courts that were in disarray, right? He would pay and help raise funds for funerals of victims and their families of gun violence, right? And this is all in his neighborhood. So the same way that people come up, he tried to bring everybody with him. That was his mission. He made it his mission because, yes, he was a great artist and he was getting on and everything, but you just getting out is not enough, right? Sometimes people make it out and then people don't, how do I put this? It's not enough if you just make it out. You want to bring people with you. Imagine you're in a burning building and so is your whole family. What credit is it to you? What does it really say about you if just you make it out? It means you ran out. And you left everybody else. And Nipsey was like, I will die in a burning building if it means I get as many people out as possible, right? You know? Because it's very easy. It's one of the easiest things to do because all of your experience is relative to you, right? So you actually, as much as we may look down on it, you can't always fault someone who forgets where they came from, especially if you came from a bad place. Sometimes you try to forget where you came from. You know, I used to think about that. I was like, damn, if I get rich enough, ooh, I won't be able to find this place on Google Maps. You know, but I mean it. It's like that's an amazing thing. And the other amazing thing, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but Nipsey did so much good. He did so many impactful things. He started so many programs and he taught how to give back and he taught people while he was still alive. It's like, I want to instruct Black Americans on how to build franchises for themselves, right? So that when we make the money, we'll know what to do with the money, right? And he did all this with what I would consider very little money. Because yes, he was a big artist and yes, he was a millionaire. But when he passed, when he was murdered, his net worth was about $8 million. And I think that people don't recognize how low that is in the grand scheme of how rich some of these artists are. We have artists that are billionaires, right? We have artists that are on track to be billionaires. And they don't do what he did with so much, with literally a fraction of what they had, right? And so I think it's important in order to understand that pop-out concert, it's important to understand Nipsey and what he stood for and what he was trying to do. It's also important to at least understand the image and the legacy of Kobe, because Kobe was also this integral part of LA, integral part of sport, right? And no matter what you think about the man himself, what he did in basketball, the passion that he had, his obsession with his passion is exactly what he wanted to impart on people for whatever it is that they do. Whatever it is you do. It doesn't have to be entertainment. It doesn't have to be a sport. It could just be the passion you have for being a father, right? If your obsession is being the best at whatever your passion is, you will make an impact, right? It's why to this day, and when I was little, if I have a ball of paper and a trash can is far enough away. Kobe. And if I make it, I lose my mind. You know? And so it's also important, no matter what you think of the man himself, Kendrick is someone that both of these individuals showed love to. And he's someone that has an obsession for his passion, which is music. And he's also someone that through his music, and at least in the intention of how he speaks in every interview and in everything that I've read about him, wants to give the same way that Nipsey gave, right? And sort of be a beacon for those same principles. So then, when you have something like the Pop Out Concert, which is on Juneteenth, which is a liberation day for black people, right? And then they all come together. And when I say they, I mean every section, every known and probably unknown section of LA's gang members were in one place at the same time. That's crazy. They were all there. And everyone made it about the beef. And I'm, you know, he played the diss tracks. Of course they do. But it was bigger than that. There was a 4-hour concert with artists from all over LA, all over West Coast, putting on, making their amazing music shown to the world. And there was even a little detail, like, I haven't verified this thing, but I heard about it. And I know of someone that, at least I think it happened to, where the concert tickets sold so fast that I guess they were checking zip codes. And if you didn't, like, live in or around L.A. or the West Coast, they were refunding people so that people in L.A. could go to the concert, right? You know? Because the thing that Kendrick gives, at least to me, the thing that Nipsey gave, at least to me, and the thing that Kobe gives to a certain degree is an appreciation and a strengthening of community. Community is very important. And just because you're not a member of a particular community doesn't mean you can't help, doesn't mean you can't feel a part of it. But if you're in a community, it's important to give back. I think that's the thing I'm trying to establish, right? Is that if you're a part of a community, it's important to give back, right? Which is why, outside of any colorism, outside of any, like, part of the beef, the thing that bothered people, and the thing that I think gets missed, because people want to be fans in whole of a person and their work, and it's just not possible. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. You don't actually know the person, so maybe they made a good thing, and maybe you like it, and that can be enough, right? So this isn't to discredit the entirety of someone making work and then also having to back up that work with being an angel. But I think what bothers people is that community is sometimes equal to culture. So if you're not a member of a community and you take from the community, let's say you're a business that moves in and all you do is sit there and let the people spend money, and then you send that money away from the people who spent the money that you put that. What place do you have here? We're trying to build something, and we're trying to build up. And you're just taking, right? And I understand business is business, but you're just taking. And I think that's what bothers a lot of artists about Drake. It's not that he's light-skinned, whatever. It's literally, I promise you, it's the fact that you're not actually trying to be or in the community, but you take, and what do you give? You're a billionaire unto yourself. Who else did you get out the house?
Preach.
Because Nipsey did so much, and he did it, and he left with a net worth of $8 million. How many hundreds of millions? How many hundreds of millions does Drake have? And I'm not telling anybody how to spend their money. I'm just saying that when we look at who's doing what and when they're doing it, you got a lot left. So when you have a concert like that, right? When you have a concert that's a day of liberation and you've grabbed all of these different sections out of LA, like, you got to understand what it is for some of these people to be in the same room. By any other metric of any other time, they would be in the streets killing each other. And now they're all inside in one place right now. Right? So I think that's what got so many people so emotional about that moment when they were all on stage together dancing. Dancing together, dancing the way, and I understand that there are lots of black people who don't have the take that I have about it, that think that any mention or any semblance of gang culture shouldn't be equated to any part of blackness, and I understand that, but I'm saying we are where we are, right? Those are black people, and yes, they've been in situations and they've been in conditions where they are gang members, but if you have a day like the Pop Out Concert, and you have another day like the Pop Out Concert, you have another day like the Pop Out Concert, all of a sudden, all this stuff, it just disintegrates. Do you know what I mean? It's all about a future, right? You had more gang members than any of... We do not know how many gang members were on that stage, but they were all dancing together. And sure, it was to call Drake a pedophile. I understand that. I understand. But they had to dance to something, right? And so... It was actually fascinating to watch because there were clearly a lot of people on that stage that did not want to be on the camera. They didn't want to, you know what I mean? They didn't want to be on the Amazon. Because even if I think one of the reasons people are having trouble finding the words to describe what an impactful and beautiful moment it was is because to tell the whole of it is not only hard to do, it does feel a little like snitching. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, he was there, and he was there, and he was there, now all of a sudden the LAPD is like, tell me more. You know? And so maybe for the good of unity, the good of the community, maybe even the good of the culture, maybe Drake should try one more time. Maybe he should just...
Knock it.